Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Some people, not my next guest, label them rats with wings, and they're not the type of animals normally considered cute. In fact, they're often considered pests, but is that a fair assessment? Donna Mullen, ecologist and author of Make Your Home a Nature Reserve, joins me on pigeons and other pests, although you might push back on that particular label. Good morning to you, Donna.
Good morning.
Why do you think pigeons have such a bad name?
Oh, I mean, I think it's just because they're around and they're not particularly beautiful. And we tend to, you know, protect the most beautiful animals. If you happen to look like a panda or a koala or something, everyone, you know, tries to save you, look after you. But if you're just a normal pigeon, you're kind of, you know, the people don't take too much notice. But it's pigeons are great because I think we're all a bit starved for nature. Everyone wants to look into the eye of a wild animal and see how it's thinking. And, you know, that's why people do daft things like swimming with dolphins or feeding the deer in the Phoenix Park. Like, you know, really shouldn't do those things because they're dangerous. But pigeons are wild animal that are sociable and they'll come up to you. And it's great fun looking at the pigeon, you know, giving it a bit of food, letting it look at you. And it's actually learning your face. So it'll recognise you again. You won't recognise it, but it'll recognise you.
Hang on a second now. Hang on a second. The pigeon is learning your face. It's becoming familiar with you. So pigeons can tell the difference between different people.
Between different people.
So if you go to, say, Trafalgar Square with your little bucket of popcorn maize and all of that, and the pigeon comes down and eats out of your hand, and you're seen again by the same pigeon, that pigeon.
Oh, it'll remember you.
Really?
It'll remember you. They can tell 1,800 different images apart. They can remember 1,800 different
images.
How
do we know that?
They just have amazing brains. Like, they are just, they're just fantastic. They actually did a study where they taught them art. So they showed that they taught them the difference. Yeah, the difference between Monet and Picasso.
Right.
So they taught them the difference between these, and then they showed them all Monet's paintings and all Picasso's paintings and asked them to file them. And they separated them into the two piles.
Right.
And then they gave them all Cubist paintings and paintings, Impressionist paintings.
Impressionist and Cubist.
And they put them all into piles depending on, you know, what type of painting it was. So there are
schools of art criticism in the pigeon world.
Absolutely.
And still these creatures are reviled. Maybe that's why. Maybe the artist started it.
Maybe we're all afraid of them because they're so bright, you know. There was another doctor in Iowa, and he saw that study about the pigeons, and he clearly must have kept pigeons himself. And he looked at breast cancers. He looked at slides. He was a histopathologist and used to look at all the slides of breast cancer. And in 15 days, he taught 8 pigeons how to tell the difference between benign and malignant breast cancers. He put them in a little box with like a touchscreen TV screen thing. And he taught the pigeons how to, if they got it right, they got some corn. And he taught them how to diagnose the different cancers. Now, I worked in hospital for years. I did ultrasounds. It took me years to learn how to diagnose an ultrasound, how to find out. The pigeons learned it in 15 days.
15 days, right.
And he decided he was going to try and make it hard for them because it was too easy and it was putting us all to shame. So he gave them the slides. The slides are usually stained. And he gave them the slides in black and white. And they got it right again. And then he gave them the slides at different magnifications. So really big or really small. And they continued getting right. 90% always right. They were.
And
right.
How was that by comparison to humans?
Well, it was pretty much the same as people. But what happened then, he gave them ones that had breast cancers that had calcium on the breast that were calcified. And these were difficult for humans to tell apart. And the pigeons only got 76% right. You know, they weren't so great. But he thought, I thought this was brilliant. Whenever I was working in the hospital and I couldn't figure out what was on this my test, I'd go and chat to whatever, the other technicians or the doctors, and we'd come up with a result between us all. He thought, let's put the pigeons together and let them have
Introduce
a chat about
pigeon second opinions.
Four different pigeons he'd put in the box and let them come up, and their rate of getting it right went from 76% to 96%. Way better than people.
And were they conferring with each other or
They seemed to be conferring with each other and then pecking the right answer.
Okay.
And they were better. He tested them at medical students. They were better than the medical students. It's a bit worrying, isn't it?
Right. How many points would a pigeon get?
Absolutely.
They can sometimes look a bit bedraggled. You know, you get the kind of the sleek looking wood pigeon, and then you get the urban pigeon with the scraggly feathers and the battered foot, and you know, maybe it's that, is it?
Yeah. Well, it's really sad actually. A lot of the city pigeons are missing toes, and. Again, there was a study in Paris, very stylish places. And for some reason, they decided to plot, to count the amount of pigeons with the missing toes and to plot over it the amount of hairdressers in a place. And it turned out that the pigeons that had the missing toes were in places where there was lots of hairdressers. So they think it's human hair getting caught around the pigeon's foot, and the pigeon can't get it off.
Just cuts the circulation.
And it cuts the circulation. It's like a little tourniquet. It cuts the circulation. It must be very painful for the pigeon. And like, it's a reason why we just need to be better at picking up our litter. Yeah, and now we have, you know, whatever, tooth floss and little bits of string and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So if you're a bit put off by the missing toe of pigeons, remember that possibly,
You've probably caused it. Even humans.
Exactly.
Yeah, you probably caused it. And they also found that they plotted the air pollution levels over these, the pigeons with the missing toe. And where there was a lot of air and noise pollution, they were missing lots of toes as well.
What's the connection
Well, they think it's something to do with the degradation of the environment. So it's putting them under more pressure. So then in London, they had some pigeon people there had a genius idea of measuring air pollution by strapping little backpacks to the pigeons' backs. So they were trying to measure air pollution for cyclists. So they had lots of cyclists to carry around monitors looking at nitrous oxide and ozone.
Right, that's the ground level stuff.
But they figured they weren't getting it up high. So they strapped these little backpacks to the pigeons and sent them off, and then whatever remote sensors would be sending back the data to the scientists. So they're very useful little birds. I make you love them eventually.
I was never a hater particularly, but I suppose the disease thing is the other. People, you know, they're having their sandwich in Houston Station and in flies a pigeon, and maybe it's one of those rough looking pigeons, and they kind of go, oh, get away from me there.
Yeah.
They're a bit put off by the general appearance and the label, as I said at the outset, a label I'm sure you'd push back on, rats with wings.
I know. Well, I mean, now I would also stick up for rats, but anyway.
We may have the time yet to get to that, but go on. Do they carry, given their kind of bin rooting habits and all that kind of thing, do they carry more diseases than others?
Yeah, well, no, they do carry diseases, but, you know, they would carry salmonella and, you know, a few other diseases. But, I mean, so do dogs, so do cats, so do people.
And so do koalas. Apparently they're riddled with chlamydia.
Right, yes, yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing. Everything has diseases, you know. So it's a matter of just being sensible. You know, you don't have a pigeon inside your house. You know, if there's lots of droppings somewhere, you clean it up every so often. If they're nesting and there's droppings, you clean it up. But I mean, they're really not bad animals for carrying disease. And, you know, wash your hands after handling them if you handle them.
Right. I mean, at this stage now, pigeons, we've already had them doing diagnostics and measuring air pollution. So when they're doing a bit of overtime in their day in the ecosystem, What is their actual job in the overall scheme of things, insofar as there are jobs in the ecosystem?
Yeah, they don't really have a job. They're descended from rock doves, which is kind of the wild pigeon, the wild. But like for about 5,000 years, people have been either domesticating them and either eating them or using them as homing pigeons or racing pigeons. And they've all interbred to make these feral pigeons. But they don't displace native species. So okay. You can have a whole load of pigeons.
You don't have that kind of dynamic like grey squirrels and red squirrels.
Exactly, no. Yeah, they won't take over a place for that something else is using. And they've really just been with us for a very long time. Peregrine falcons eat them a lot as well. So they absolutely, they love a snack on a pigeon.
Yeah, so and peregrine falcons have kind of moved to the city, haven't they? They see yes. skyscrapers as almost like a cliff face.
Exactly, yeah. And so they would eat pigeons quite a lot. They're in quarries and that too.
Deliberately, the owners bring them in, don't they, on occasion to try and keep down pigeon numbers.
Yeah, sometimes people do, or they can use kites that are shaped like peregrine falcons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you see that a lot to keep down pigeon numbers. But why keep down pigeon numbers? Unless they're causing you trouble. I think just live with them.
So you have the wood pigeons that we all kind of see out and about, and they're kind of plump looking, clean grey ones.
Yes.
And then there are the urban pigeons that we're just talking about there. And then there's these other kind of smaller, paler coloured ones that I have to confess, I don't really remember seeing around as much when I was younger, but I see more of them now. You know, they're kind of a beigey, grey, monotone looking pigeon. What are they?
It might be rock doves that you're seeing.
Okay.
That there's actually, because the pigeons, all the kind of feral pigeons and everything, have so interbred, you get a big range of colours. The rock doves are the most pretty. They kind of have, they're almost kind of fluorescent, and they're, necks on them are kind of purpley colours, whereas the feral ones that you see, they're often very grey and they're not quite so pretty. But when
I mean, they are a model to us for relationships as well. I mean, in care and everything else, aren't they? I mean, they're quite loyal, aren't they?
They are, yeah, yeah. Though they tend to live happily ever after with the one partner. Now, every so often, apparently, a rogue male can get in and smash up the eggs of a couple, and that can make so much stress that they divorce. But beyond that, they generally...
That's maybe the aim of the rogue male.
It is, yeah, exactly. Get a female for himself.
And what is it to show up the male have been not
and
protective
not
being, enough?
Yeah, exactly, not, well, not looking after the eggs well enough or whatever. And also as well... when if the females are doing badly, if they're in a time where there's not a lot of food or whatever, males have to fight a lot and have to be very strong. So the female, when she lays her eggs, if she knows she's not going to have good offspring, she lays female offspring because life is a little easier for the females.
All right.
And they'll hatch and they'll have more chance of survival. But both parents produce this thing. It's they have prolactin, which is what breastfeeding mothers produce, and they produce this little milk in their crop, which is it's like a sac in their throat, and they feed their young on this. Both the male and the female produce this.
Is
stuff.
That unique to pigeons?
A couple of birds do it, all right. A lot of birds would do it, but it's not like it's only mammals produce real milk. But this is kind of the bird equivalent of it, and it has all the stuff in it that that colostrum. You know, it has all kind of natural antibiotics.
We've been contacted by a number of listeners. I don't think we're going to have to get the chance to get to rats. We might get to them another day. Somebody saying wants to know, can you ask, do pigeons that use a garden bird bath spread any diseases to other birds any more so than any other type of bird?
Yeah, I suppose they could. I suppose it could spread salmonella. Every other bird could as well.
All right, okay.
So just clean out the bird bath kind of regularly. But I've said if any bird is using the bird bath, that's a success. That's well done for cutting it up.
I suppose, look, for people who don't want them, but they want to in a humane way, not either surround their house with spikes, but they do want to not have pigeons around, what would you do?
If you don't want them nesting, you can put a ledge that's at a slope. So about kind of 30 to a 50 degree angle. They don't really like nesting on something that might slide off, you know. The spikes don't really work because they just put nesting material on top of them.
Okay, they stack it up and pads.
They stack it up. And nesting is really cool because they can get their legs caught in them.
Okay.
And they can...
There's your toes again.
Yeah, or just even get stuck and die.
Okay, very, very... okay, unfortunately, we're out of time on this. We're going to take a break. We're back in a minute.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.